Were they upset about rolling back the wish?
Actually, Mrs. Leary said she made enough memories for another lifetime and would be happy to give her hoo-ha a rest,
Thistle answered.
That was her word, not mine, by the way. I would never use that word.
Hoo-ha,
Landon and Marcus said in unison, drawing out the syllables and bursting into gales of childish laughter. Thistle rolled her eyes and reached for a bottle of wine.
How did things go with Mrs. Little?
She denied making a wish, I replied. Landon warned her that her fans would likely turn on her and try to kill her if she didn't reverse it. And then we left her with her paranoia.
That was probably smart,
Chief Terry said, appearing in the doorway.
Do you have room for one more? I'm too tired to get my own dinner tonight.
We always have room for you, Mom said, beaming when she saw him. Take a seat next to me.
That's my chair, Marnie complained.
You can take a seat down there. Mom jerked her head toward the empty end of the table. Terry wants to sit by me. My mother and aunts are in a weird competition for Chief Terry's affection. I have no idea what they'll do if one of them ever naps him, but Chief Terry seems fine with them doting on him.
I think I'll sit down next to Bay so we can cut down on any problems,
Chief Terry supplied.
I'm too tired to walk around the table anyway. It's been one freaky long day.
You poor thing. Twyla made a clucking sound as she maneuvered around the table, not stopping until she stood behind Chief Terry, so she could dig her fingers into his neck and give him a massage. Here, I'll take care of you. Mom and Marnie exchanged dark looks as they glared at Twyla, while I shifted on my chair and cast him a sidelong look. His cheeks colored when he felt multiple sets of eyes on him, but he didn't dissuade Twyla from her massage.
So what else is new?
Chief Terry asked, changing the subject.
Have we managed to track down everyone who made wishes?
Doubtful, Landon replied, pouring me a glass of wine.
We could barely keep up with what we heard about today. You just know there are people out there who wish for some really wild things. We'll have to look for them tomorrow.
Chief Terry arched an eyebrow, surprised.
Tomorrow? Don't you have to work? I called in.
He told his boss I got beat up by a bunch of teenagers and he had to take care of me, I supplied. I'm sure they're laughing themselves silly over there.
I told you he probably thought that was an excuse so we could spend the day in bed,
Landon argued. Chill out. You have a dirty mind, Mom complained, cuffing the back of Landon's head after delivering the platter of turkey to the middle of the table. I thought some comfort food was in order for everyone today. I thought Sam and Chloe would be here too, but... we have more than enough if they show up late. Dig in.
I think they're at the Dandridge, Thistle supplied. Sam was a little embarrassed that we all found out about his wishing for respect. I'm sure Clove is massaging his ego, even as we speak.
There's nothing wrong with a good massage, Twyla said, oblivious.
Speaking of that, why don't you let me take over? Marnie suggested.
I shifted a hard look in Chief Terry's direction. This was too weird to be normal.
Did you make a wish?
I hissed, horrified. Chief Terry balked.
No, why would you think that?
Because they're acting weirder than normal.
Did you ever think that's how they roll?
Chief Terry was affronted.
I'm a popular guy. Sometimes people just like me. I don't think they're acting any odder than normal,
Landon volunteered.
I think they thrive on the competition.
He had a point. Still, if you can make a wish, what would it be? Chief Terry appeared surprised by the question.
I don't know. I haven't given it a lot of thought.
There must be something, I pressed. I would want boots and Landon would want a new motorcycle.
I don't need any physical goods,
Chief Terry said. What do you need? Chief Terry shifted in his chair, licking his lips.
Fine. If you must know, I would wish to be your father and go back in time and raise you from the beginning.
His answer stunned me and filled me with warmth at the same time. Really?
Yes, but I wouldn't actually make that wish because you already have a father. I'm happy with the way things are, though, in the grand scheme of things.
Tears pricked the back of my eyes as Landon rubbed my neck. Oh.
Don't cry, sweetie. Landon comforted. He said a nice thing, but you'll make him regret it if you're not careful.
I know. I found myself struggling to find the right words. Chief Terry had the best heart of anyone I knew.
It's okay.
Chief Terry patted my hand.
If you cry, I'll cry, and I'll never forgive you for that.
I stifled a sob. Okay.
Oh, geez, we really are the Schmaltz family, Thistle complained. Aunt Tilly, you'd better find a way to reverse that spell, or we're all going to die in a Schmaltz eruption. I'm working on it, Mouth. Mind your own business.
Aunt Tilly huffed out a sigh as she reached for her wine.
It's not as easy as you'd like.
Something occurred to me as I reached for the platter of turkey. Speaking of fathers. I left the sentence hanging, and Thistle made a face when she realized what I was insinuating.
Oh, crap. What if they wish for something funky?
I guess we'll find out after dinner,
Landon said, resigned.
Everyone, eat up. We're probably going to need the carbs.
Oh, yeah? Do you know what I wish? I wish I was a part of this family. You're all embarrassing, and I would rather live in a tree with the Keebler elves than hang around you people. At least they have cookies, and no one fills them with guilt and disappointment when they bake them.
Clove Winchester, age 11, when her mother gave her a list of chores she wanted completed for the weekend. 16. I'm not looking forward to explaining this. I rubbed my sweaty palms against my jeans as Landon navigated the dark road that led to the Dragonfly, the competing inn my father and uncles own on the other side of Hemlock Cove. They're probably going to think we're crazy and to blame, I added, my stomach twisting.
Crazy is a state of mind, and technically we are to blame, Thistle offered from the back seat.
She wasn't happy when I insisted she join us, but ultimately she didn't put up much of a fuss.
Aunt Tilly did this, and the entire town is suffering.
I can't figure out what she was thinking, I muttered. She's the one who always told us not to cast spells when we were drunk, or high, or sexually aroused.
Oh, jeez. Landon made a face. How old were you when she imparted that last little nugget of wisdom?
That was last week. Despite himself and the serious situation, Landon chuckled.
Oh, well, I guess that's okay then.
She's been in a mood for the past week, Thistle said. I think something happened with Mrs. Little and it pushed her over the edge. I'm not sure why she decided to go about her vengeance this way, but she's going to have to think of a way to reverse the spell, and soon.
This can't go on another day, Landon agreed. Every time we think we've caught up, we realize we're really still behind. It's frustrating.
And now your boss thinks that you're a sex fiend, or that possibly I'm the sort of woman who gets beaten by teenagers, I grumbled.
Who exactly is the type of woman who gets beaten by teenagers?
Marcus asked, his hand resting on Thistle's knee in the back seat. He appeared to be trying to comfort her regarding her eye, but she wasn't making things easy.
I'm confused about why that's important.
Ask Bay, Thistle muttered.
I'm a little curious about that, too,
Landon admitted.
Why is it such a big deal that teenagers beat you up?
Would you be happy if a gaggle of teen boys beat you up? I challenged.
Well, no,
Landon grudgingly admitted.
That's different, though. I'm an FBI agent. You're a mild-mannered reporter with a studly yet sensitive boyfriend. You weren't to blame for what happened, so I'm not sure why you're so upset about it.
Of course you don't understand. You're not a woman.
I'm a woman, and I don't understand.
Thistle admitted, tilting her head to the side.
Why is this such a big deal? Lila punched me. Things could be worse.
I would have rather gotten punched by Lila. I rubbed my cheek as weariness momentarily overtook me. This makes me look as if I was actually fighting with teenagers over a boy, and it's so annoying.
Landon snorted. You're really fired up about this. I guess I know what to tease you about next time I want to engage in a wrestling match, huh?
I don't see you laughing every time someone accuses you of being the one who did this. I gestured toward my eye. It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing, Landon barked. I would never hurt you. I hate that people think I would.
No one who has ever met you thinks you did this.
Chief Terry did.
Landon stubbornly kept his gaze focused out the front windshield.
Chief Terry didn't think that, Thistle corrected, taking me by surprise. He saw Bay with a black eye and wanted to make someone pay. He never believed it was you. I think, deep down, you know that. You're acting weird about it, though, which makes me think there's some sort of story we're missing. I didn't want to agree with Thistle on general principle. I could be stubborn, too, after all. But I was fairly certain she was onto something. If you want to talk...
I'm fine.
Landon snapped, his knuckles whitening as he tightened his grip around the steering wheel.
As for no one believing I would do that to you, what do you think your father is going to say when he gets a gander at that eye?
My relationship with my father was difficult on the best day. What was about to happen at the Dragonfly couldn't possibly be mistaken for the best of anything. He won't, I said finally. He knows he wouldn't.
He hates me, Bay, and he thinks I'd keep you from him.
Landon countered.
We've come to an uneasy truce because we both want what's best for you, but we're never going to be best friends.
I readjusted my attitude, given the fact that Landon appeared to be legitimately struggling. I won't let him.
You don't have the power to stop that.
Landon's tone was grim.
When was the last time you even saw your father?
The question was like a punch to the other eye, and I shifted on my seat.
Oh, I... Huh.
That shouldn't have been a hard question. In truth, I had a bit of resentment build up where my father was concerned. He and my uncles left when we were little, seeing us only sporadically throughout the years. They returned about a year ago and wanted to improve our relationships, but it wasn't easy to do that, given everyone's feelings of abandonment. I never thought of myself as the type of person who would run from emotional turmoil. Until my father returned to town, and I did everything in my power to avoid him, so I wouldn't be dragged into a heavy conversation. That's probably why it took me 2 days to even consider his well-being and the whole wish fiasco.
And there it is.
Landon intoned, his forehead wrinkling as he turned into the Dragonfly's parking lot.
Bay, I don't blame you for any of this. I don't want you taking that on and ticking me off. Things are a mess right now. We're doing our best, but it's going to be ugly in here. Everyone needs to remain calm and things will be okay.
Are you trying to convince us of that or yourself? Thistle asked dryly.
You give me freaking heartburn,
Landon complained, shaking his head.
Let's do this. What happened to your eye?
We were barely through the front door before Dad asked the question. Oh, well, I can tell you what didn't happen to it. I shot a worried look in Landon's direction and found him shaking his head.
You have a black eye, too.
Uncle Teddy, Thistle's father, tilted his head to the side as he studied her face.
Did you guys get in a fight with each other?
Dad made a clucking sound with his tongue and shook his head.
Haven't you girls outgrown that yet? Come on, it's no longer cute because you're adults now. It's totally hot because they're adults, though.
Marcus offered, shrinking back when Uncle Teddy scolded him with a murderous glare.
Or not.
I pursed my lips as I regarded Landon. At least he didn't think you did it. Dad's eyebrows winged up as he glanced between faces.
Why would I think Landon did it? He seems to be something of a hothead, but he's never shown aggression toward you.
See, I had no idea why I felt the need to push Landon, but he was showing signs of retreating into himself, and I didn't like it. Not everyone thinks he did it. Landon forced a smile for my benefit.
Yes, well, I stand corrected. Am I missing something?
My father was well aware of our witchy ways and occasional freakouts and unending hijinks, but he looked concerned as he glanced between faces.
What's going on?
Well, something is going on, I hedged. Is that chocolate cake? My mind blurred at the edges as I lifted my nose. Something smelled absolutely heavenly in the next room.
Yes, we were just sitting down to dinner.
Dad hedged, uncertain.
Why don't you have dessert with us and we'll talk about this?
That sounds great. I grabbed Landon's hand and tugged him toward the dining room, increasing my pace as the chocolate cake called to me. I felt somehow lighter, knowing we were going to eat cake. I couldn't explain it. What else do you guys have to eat? I pulled up short when I hit the dining room and the overflowing table popped into view. Much like the Overlook, all the Dragonfly's guests had checked out, so only family remained. The part of the family sitting at the far end of the table was dumbfounding. Clove? Landon rested his hand on my hip as he moved behind me, his eyes widening when he caught sight of our missing cousin and her boyfriend.
What are you doing here? I thought you were at the Dandridge making Sam feel better about being disrespected.
Oh, yeah, that will make things better, I deadpanned. Landon shrugged, seemingly unbothered.
He'll live.
He pulled out a chair so I could sit, his eyes briefly locking with my father's as he forced a tight smile.
Thank you for inviting us for dessert. We've had a long day.
Some of us have had a long day, Thistle clarified, casting a dubious look in Clove's direction. I believe you took care of one person on her wish list before disappearing for the afternoon.
I didn't have a choice, Clove offered blankly.
She looked slightly off, almost scattered. Sam needed extra attention, and then Dad called to talk, and the next thing I knew, well, we were out here.
The entire day?
Thistle was understandably dubious.
I don't get why you didn't tell us you were coming out here. We always come out here together, so no one feels particularly burdened.
I rubbed my forehead and avoided eye contact with my father. I couldn't believe she said that out loud. It was true, don't get me wrong, but it was one of those things we tacitly agreed never to mention for fear our fathers might hear it, or we might feel unduly burdened by guilt. That cake smells great, I said. Who baked it? Uncle Warren, Clove's father, shot me an odd look. He wasn't in the lobby when Dad and Uncle Teddy greeted us, so our black eyes caught him off guard.
Did you two get in a fight?
They always get in a fight, Clove answered, haughty. They threaten to make each other eat dirt and tattle to Aunt Tilly so someone gets cursed. It's so lame-o. I stilled. Even for Clove, that was an immature way to verbalize her feelings. Is something going on? Landon jerked his head in my direction, his expression thoughtful, as he glanced around the table.
Yeah, something is going on, Thistle said, her annoyance coming out to play. Clove is being a moron. I haven't heard her use the term lame-o since we were in middle school. Oh, well, there was that week she tried to carry it over into high school, but we beat her up until she agreed to stop.
Yeah, that was like, so very stupid. I heard the words come out of my mouth, registered the tone I uttered them with, and ran my tongue over my lips as I debated why it happened.
I'm not sure. I miss you today, Daddy, Thistle announced, resting her head on her father's shoulder and giving him a beseeching look. Did you miss me?
Teddy seemed surprised by the question.
I always miss you, honey. I wish you would come around more often.
We all wish you guys would come around more often, Thistle offered. We wish it on a daily basis.
You wish? Something about the word choice nagged in my head. Trying to focus when the world kept buzzing was impossible, though. And my head hurts.
What?
Landon cupped my chin and lifted it, staring into my eyes.
Is this a headache or something from the black eye?
It's something else. I rubbed my forehead. I think something is happening.
I think you're right.
Landon looked panicked when he got to his feet and stared at Clove and Thistle. They rubbed their foreheads in the same manner, although they appeared more verbal as they chatted with their fathers.
Sam, how long have you been here?
Sam seemed surprised by the question as he held his palms up.
I guess about 2 hours. How did you end up here? Warren called and invited us to dinner,
Sam answered.
Clove said no initially, and then became overwhelmed with the urge to see him. I didn't see any problem with the request, so why? Have any of you guys been to town this week?
Landon asked, turning his eyes to Dad. He wasn't accusatory, but his patience was clearly wearing thin.
We've all been to town this week,
Dad answered, running his hand down the back of my head.
What's wrong? Honey, you look upset. Do you want to go upstairs and lie down?
Sure, Daddy.
Daddy?
I couldn't remember the last time I called my father Daddy. It had to be before they left. I cast a desperate look in Landon's direction as the headache increased. What's happening?
I think you're fighting a wish,
Landon replied, kneeling in front of me.
I think your father, Teddy, or Warren made a wish regarding you guys, and now you're fighting it. Doug Bateman mentioned something to me when I was taking him into custody. He said the last thing he remembered before, passing out was a severe headache. That's because he was fighting the wish.
Are you saying I'm going to die?
You're never going to die on me,
Landon shot back, frustrated. He turned his eyes to my father.
One of you went to the wishing well over the past few days. You made a wish to recapture your youth or repair your relationship with the girls, or go back in time and erase some hurt. Which one of you was it?
Dad balked.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It was me,
Warren answered, raising his hand sheepish.
I wish to make things better between us. I didn't mean to do this. I don't understand.
Landon waved off the apology.
You didn't do it. Aunt Tilly cursed the well to mess with Margaret Little, and it backfired. These wishes are going wrong. You need to go back to the wishing well and reverse whatever you wished for, and you need to do it soon.
Landon pressed his lips to my forehead as he stroked the back of my head.
It's okay, sweetie. It's okay. Wait a second.
Dad took a step forward, confused.
You're saying the wishes are coming true and backfiring?
The wishes seem to be turning more and more unstable as the day moves forward, Landon replied.
Warren, go to the well and reverse the wish right now.
Warren nodded, horrified.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just...
I know what you were doing, Landon said, sympathy getting the better of him.
We all want to wish big and make little hurts go away because it's easier. That's not possible. Your relationship with the girls is what it is.
You created it, and now you have to fix it, he continued.
It's going to take time, and it's not going to get better overnight. Most days, a wish is just something your heart wants. Identifying it can be good because you know what you want to work toward. But in this case, Aunt Tilly is a crazy loon, and we're all suffering. I'll leave right now,
Warren said, dropping a kiss on top of Clove's head as she rubbed her forehead, and Sam leaned close to whisper something to her.
It's going to be okay,
Dad said, resting his hand on top of mine as he sat.
Tell me more about this curse. That might take your mind off of things. Is that how you got the black eye?
A group of teenagers gave me the black eye, I whined. Dad smirked.
Oh, well, I'm sure you'll overcome the embarrassment.
Landon smirked. Dad seemed to be the only one who understood why I was so upset about getting beat up by teenagers. It had nothing to do with the wish, yet it was growth all the same.
Okay, how about I cut everyone some cake and we focus on that while Warren reverses his wish?
Uncle Teddy suggested.
How does that sound?
I want sprinkles, too, Thistle said. Landon rubbed soothing circles on my neck as he leaned closer.
It's going to be okay. I'm right here.
I mustered a watery smile. You always are, black eye and all.
Bae, I always will be.
Landon kissed the corner of my mouth.
Do you remember when you asked me if I had a wish?
I nodded, my head pounding.
I wish I could keep you from pain,
Landon said.
That's my one wish.
Right back at you. I leaned my head against his shoulder. I'm so tired.
Sweetie, as soon as Warren reverses his wish and you eat your cake, I'm taking you home to bed.
That sounds nice.
It does, doesn't it? And then tomorrow we're going to end this. Aunt Tilly had better look out, because I'm not stopping until this thing is behind us. Enough is enough.
I wish Mom and Dad gave more thought to their procreation plan before they had you, Winnie. If they had, they would have started with me and things would be so much easier. Of course, if you start with perfection, there's nowhere to go but down. Just ask Twyla.
Marnie Winchester explaining how she got cheated out of being the oldest Winchester sister. 17.
How is she?
Dad moved to the couch where I rested, a pillow pressed over my forehead to muffle the relentless pounding. Landon sat on the floor next to me, rubbing my neck with one hand while he squeezed my fingers with the other.
It should be over soon,
Landon replied.
I'm starting to wonder what's taking Warren so long. Maybe one of us should have gone with him.
And exactly who was going to abandon their girlfriend?
Marcus snapped. He rarely lost his cool, but Thistle's insistence on holding her head and moaning like a really annoying cartoon ghost had clearly unnerved him.
Were you going to leave Bay? I wasn't going to leave Thistle, so what?
Chill out, drama queen,
Landon shot back.
We're all in this together. There's no reason to be, well, Thistle. I think the more time you spend with her, the more ornery you get.
Says the guy freaking out because he thinks everyone is going to believe he beat his girlfriend,
Marcus fired back.
Yeah, what's up with that? I asked, refusing to move the pillow.
You've been crazy about that since it happened.
I happen to dislike my girlfriend having a black eye. Sue me.
I felt Landon shift to get more comfortable, and a hand rested on my shin.
I don't like anyone who hurts other people.
I get that, but you've been especially manic about this.
I don't want you hurt, ever.
I peeked out from beneath the pillow and focused on him, despite the pain threatening to blur my vision. Landon, no one who has ever met you would think you were capable of that.
Chief Terry did. He was going to rip my head off when he saw your face.
Chief Terry?
Dad tried to hide his distaste, but he wasn't fast enough.
Why were you with him?
We're always with him. It probably wasn't wise to poke my father when he was feeling down, but I would never take Chief Terry or his presence in our lives for granted. He's been working on wish reversals, too.
We've had a busy 2 days, Landon explained. When it first started, I thought Bay was imagining it. She saw someone flying over the property, in a hoodie, no less, and I thought she dreamed it.
Flying, huh?
Dad looked amused.
Like a superhero.
He was flying over Aunt Tilly's pot field, I replied. I have serious doubts it was a superhero, unless... Is Marijuana Man a thing? Landon snorted, his eyes lighting up. He'd been down for hours, so it was nice to see.
I thought the field was harvested for the season.
It is. That leads me to believe that we're dealing with a teenager. He's either stupid or doesn't realize that pot plants can't grow when it's cold.
We haven't dealt with him either.
Landon leaned against the support beam in the center of the living room and pressed the palm of my hand against his cheek. I didn't think he realized it, but he did it at times when he was upset. It somehow soothed him. I kind of forgot about it, I admitted. With all the crap going on, the guy flying over the pot field seemed unimportant.
Yes, well, when you're dealing with naked senior citizens humping in a car, and a woman wishing for Hollywood celebrities so she can use them as sex machines, you have to prioritize, Thistle interjected. Speaking of that, where's Clove? She looked as if she was going to pass out.
Sam took her to one of the rooms upstairs.
Uncle Teddy replied as he hovered close to Thistle.
Why is this still happening? Warren must have hit the wishing well by now.
Maybe I should call Chief Terry,
Landon suggested, releasing my hand and digging in his pocket.
We can send him over there to make sure Warren hasn't run into anyone or somehow gotten himself in trouble.
I can look for him,
Dad offered.
You don't have to bother Terry.
Landon looked caught.
Chief Terry has been around for several wish reversals today. He knows how it's done. Also, he's in town. He can get to Warren faster. I don't want Bay suffering longer than she has to.
Dad balked.
And you think I do?
I think you're jealous of Terry.
Landon answered without hesitation.
Listen, I get it. If I were in your position, I would probably feel the same way. The problem is that you've earned this relationship with your kid, and he's earned the one he has with her. He's the one who was there all those years you guys were gone.
He continued, causing my heart to constrict. Now was so not the time for this.
They love him. Bay loves him. That doesn't mean she doesn't love you, too.
Landon typed something into his phone and stared for a moment until it dinged.
Chief Terry's gonna check on Warren right now,
Landon said.
I kept the details light. Hopefully, that will be enough.
We lapsed into uncomfortable silence for a few minutes. Dad staring at Landon as he gathered his thoughts. And then he cleared his throat to draw our attention.
I'm not jealous of Terry. Well, I am, but that's not why I get so worked up.
Okay.
Landon looked as if the last place he wanted to be was in the middle of this conversation.
Why do you get so worked up?
Because it's easier to blame other people than yourself.
Dad replied.
I love Bay, but I walked away. There was a time when I thought nothing could break apart my family. And I was wrong. Tilly broke apart my family.
And that's simply another excuse,
Landon snapped, his vehemence taking me by surprise.
Tilly was there for all three girls when you guys were gone. I've heard stories, hilarious stories, mind you, where she spent days upon days watching them while Winnie, Marnie, and Twyla were getting their bed and breakfast up and running. She took them to cemeteries to steal flowers, to Margaret Little's house to fill in her driveway with yellow snow, to Lila Stevens' house to spy on her, and to the bakery for donuts and hot chocolate.
He continued.
She was there. I think it's really despicable that you want to blame her for your shortcomings. Dad's mouth dropped open, surprise washing over him.
I'm not blaming her.
You are, Landon countered.
You can sit there and say that you never thought it would happen, but the fact of the matter is that you let it happen. You might think I'm being a hard ass, but I have to be. I need Bay to know that no matter what, I won't do what you did. The Winchester family is difficult, and I would never say otherwise, he continued, but they're easy, too. All you have to do is be loyal, and you're golden with them. How do you think that I get bacon every single morning when I spend the night?
I don't know.
Dad looked uncomfortable as he shifted from one foot to the other.
I didn't want to leave, Bay.
If that were true, you wouldn't have left.
Landon shot back, not missing a beat.
We all make choices in life. You choose to leave. You also choose to come back. You have to live with the consequences of your actions. This is important to me, and I'm fairly certain it's important to Marcus and Sam, too, he continued. I love Bay, and I'm going to be with her. One day I wouldn't mind a kid or two with her, as long as we don't allow Aunt Tilly to babysit, that is. I want her to know, no, I need her to know, that I won't ever leave. Blaming Aunt Tilly for your weakness is laughable,
Landon said as he shifted to get more comfortable.
The woman is massively difficult, but she's easy to gauge. Do you know what she wants more than anything?
Dad shook his head.
No, do you?
Landon nodded.
She wants her girls to be happy. She wants all of them to be happy. Even if she doesn't like you, she will make an effort to keep you in the fold if you make her girls happy. How do you think Sam hung around so long when none of us knew his true motivations?
Huh.
Landon smirked.
When Sam first came to town, we were all suspicious of him, he explained. I was the worst because he approached Bay and announced he knew she was a witch, and it made me uncomfortable. It didn't make me uncomfortable because I worried about people finding out, mind you. But it did worry me because I thought he wanted something from her. As it turns out, he merely wanted people who understood him. He continued. He found that with the Winchesters, they opened their home and hearts to him. He's a good man. He saved Bay. She probably would have died without him. That took time, though. It didn't happen instantly. You built your relationship with Bay over time.
Landon adopted a pragmatic tone as he rubbed his fingertips over my knuckles.
You seem to think it's not going to take time to fix things. That's not how it works, because it takes genuine effort to make things right.
They're not putting in a lot of effort,
Dad pointed out. I wanted to argue, but he wasn't wrong.
Why do we have to put all of the effort in?
Because they're your children and you created this situation,
Landon replied, not missing a beat.
I don't have sympathy for you. And as for Chief Terry, if you continue treating him poorly, you'll drive away Bay. He loves her. He didn't make a wish, but he told her what it would be if he had wished for something. Do you want to know what that wish was?
To be with Winnie?
Dad made a disgusted face.
No, to be Bay's father and go back in time and do it even better the second time around.
Landon replied, causing Dad's face to drain of color.
He loves Bay for who she is. You love Bay for what she is.
Dad looked confused.
I don't understand. Are you insinuating that I love Bay because she's a witch?
No, I'm saying that you love Bay because she's your daughter.
Landon corrected.
You feel you have to love her, so you love her. But here's the thing. I don't want anyone loving Bay out of a feeling of obligation. Love her because she's Bay. Otherwise, don't love her at all. She deserves more.
Dad drew his eyebrows together as he shot a rueful look in my direction.
He's kind of smart and mean when he wants to be.
He's bossy and addicted to bacon, too, I offered, blowing out a sigh. The headache is easing. Chief Terry must have found Warren.
Good.
Landon rubbed my forehead.
It will get better quickly now.
I hope so.
I know so.
Landon rested his forehead against my cheek as he rubbed my temple.
It seems like you guys keep trying to take shortcuts, Jack. And believe it or not, I'm not blaming you for the snafu because it wasn't your fault. But you need to put in the work. Life isn't going to hand you easy answers. That's not how people succeed in the real world.
Dad mustered a legitimate smile for Landon.
I'll keep that in mind. I thank you.
You're welcome.
Landon kissed the tip of my nose.
Now, where's that cake?
You were good with him. I linked my fingers with Landon's and swung our joined hands as we walked toward the guest house an hour later.
I wish I wasn't forced to keep having these deep discussions with him,
Landon admitted.
He seems like he's caught in a rough place. He wants a relationship with you, yet he's bitter. My biggest problem is that he doesn't seem to be bitter with himself.
I think the opposite is true, I argued, taking Landon by surprise.
You do?
I nodded. I think he blames himself for all of it, and the guilt is swallowing him whole, I explained. He hates himself for what he did, and wants to go back in time and fix things. That's not possible, so his anger keeps building and building, and occasionally it seeps out.
That doesn't mean it's okay for him to go after Chief Terry.
Definitely not, I shook my head. I always feel guilty for talking about Chief Terry in front of him, but what am I supposed to do? Chief Terry was there for us. He's part of our family.
He is,
Landon agreed, bobbing his head.
You're simply going to have to play it by ear. I know I said that you guys shouldn't be responsible for putting in effort, but it would be helpful if you would put in some effort. I don't think it has to be anything major,
he continued.
Perhaps you could invite your dad to lunch once a week or something. He needs an olive branch. Things will only get worse as long as you keep holding up Chief Terry as a paragon of virtue.
I won't cut Chief Terry out of my life.
You don't have to,
Landon shot back.
What you do have to do is find a way for them to coexist. It's best for everyone involved if you manage to find a level playing field.
I'll give it some thought. I knew I sounded petulant, but I couldn't muster a lot of effort. I'm really tired. Do you think we could go to bed early tonight?
Oh, baby, I was thinking we'd share a bath and then crawl under the covers until dawn.
Landon admitted.
I feel like an old man. I'm so tired.
I bet I can make you feel young again, I teased, playfully pinching his butt.
I'll bet you can, too.
Landon wrapped his arms around my waist and dipped me low so he could press a scorching kiss to my mouth.
Maybe we'll add one little item to tonight's agenda.
That sounds like a plan. I giggled as Landon made gnawing noises and rubbed his cheek against mine. I was so caught up in the moment, I blinked back the first shadow as it passed over my face. The second was harder to ignore because I was forced to look up from my position, and I didn't miss the face smiling down at me as Hipster Man flew over the well-worn trail.
That is so hot,
he called out, causing Landon to jerk his head up.
Hey, we've been looking for you,
Landon barked.
Well, you found me,
the boy said, beaming.
Now you just have to catch me.
And with those words, he zoomed off into the night and right toward Aunt Tilly's pot field.
I'm really starting to hate teenagers, Landon muttered.
I patted his arm. I'm right there with you.
If I had a genie trapped in a bottle, I would totally wish for a week alone. No more waiting in line for the bathroom. No more having to fight over stools at the counter. No more having to slap people over the last slice of bacon. Oh, don't look at me that way. I would be perfectly fine. Unless that's when Bigfoot finally decided to make his presence known. If that happens, I'll wish I was dead. So, yeah, maybe I need to rethink this.
Clove, 10, explaining why the Winchester house is too small for all of its occupants. 18. Which way? Landon narrowed his eyes as he scanned the sky. The moon wasn't full, and clouds dotted the darkness, blocking the stairs.
Which way?
That way. I pointed in the direction of the field, even though I'd lost sight of the kid. I'm pretty sure he's been flying over the field every night.
For what purpose?
Landon grabbed my hand so he wouldn't accidentally lose me, and picked an easy pace for me to maintain. I think he remained worried about my headache, even though it had dissipated. I'm telling you that the kid is an idiot, I replied. He probably thinks that pot grows year-round.
How does he even know about the field?
It's one of those secrets that's not really a secret, I answered. Aunt Tilly's field has reached legendary status with the younger set. It's become something of a challenge for someone to be the first to stumble across the field.
If they don't know it's there, why do they keep coming? Once a few kids tried and failed, I'd think they'd give it up.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way teenagers roll. Landon kept a firm hold on my arm. The trees in the area were mostly bare. autumn stripping away the leaves, but there were plenty of holes and fallen branches to cause a fall or painful collision if we didn't pay attention. "Go to the right," I ordered, pointing. "There's a fairly well-worn trail over there."
"I've seen this trail before," Landon noted. "I didn't realize it led to the field."
"You can't find the field," I reminded him. "Aunt Tilly hacked it, so any law enforcement official looking for it will get diarrhea. She told you that herself." Landon stilled, the ramifications of my words washing over him.
"You don't think that's still true, do you?"
I shrugged. "What's more important, an uncomfortable night on the toilet or saving a kid before his wish goes bad and he rushes headlong into the ground and breaks his neck?"
"Good point."
Landon remained rooted to a spot, tilting his head to the side as he considered his decision.
"I'll wait here. You can handle Hipster Man on your own. I have faith."
My mouth dropped open, stunned disbelief causing my stomach to twist. "You've spent the entire day doting on me and making sure I was taken care of. Are you really abandoning me now?"
"The kid is not a threat," Landon argued. "He's just a lazy burnout looking for free weed. I have faith that you can handle him."
I narrowed my eyes, frustrated. "I don't want to go alone."
"I don't want to spend the night on the toilet."
"But..."
"I'll watch from here."
Landon moved his hands in a small, shooing motion.
"If you get in trouble, call out for me and I will come running."
"Yes, but will you be in time?"
"I guess we'll have to wait and see."
Landon leaned forward to kiss me, but I jerked my head back. "You're on my list," I warned, extending a finger as I turned back toward the field. "If I die out here, don't blame yourself too much. It'll only be half your fault."
"Oh, geez, you're so dramatic. You'll be fine."
I broke into a jog, refusing to glance over my shoulder and give Landon the satisfaction of knowing that I was worried about handling this particular problem without him. I was almost at the edge of the field when I heard something in the bush to my right. I pulled up short and snapped my head in that direction. To my utter surprise, I found Thistle and Clove trudging through the foliage, and they weren't even trying to be quiet.
"I can't believe this," Thistle groused. "I wanted a cup of tea and a cookie. That's the only reason I had Bay and Landon drop us at the inn. Now we're stuck out here looking for Loser Man. It's just not right."
"I'm right there with you," Clove grumbled. "I wanted to pretend I didn't see him when Twyla pointed through the window, but here we are. I kind of want to beat this kid up. Do you think that's wrong?" "It's not wrong," I offered, causing both of them to jolt. They obviously hadn't seen my approach. Landon is hiding over there because he's worried he'll get diarrhea if he goes with me. He spent the entire day trying to protect me, and now it's all, "You're on your own, and you'll be fine, and stop whining because you're giving me a headache." Thistle snorted, craning her neck in the direction I gestured and grinning.
"I forgot about the diarrhea curse. Aunt Tilly really is gifted when she wants to be."
"I can think of a few other words for her," I snapped. "Why isn't she out here dealing with this?" "She's supposed to be inside dealing with the reversal spell. Mom says she's close, by the way. So Aunt Winnie vetoed it when Aunt Tilly said she was going to get a shotgun," Clove replied. "For once, I wish she was here. I have no idea how we're going to get that kid down." "She wasn't the only one. Did anyone see where he went?"
"He's right there." Thistle pointed to a spot close to a tall pine tree. "He's trying to hide because he knows we're ticked off."
She raised her voice so it carried across the chilly night air.
"He should be afraid because I'm totally going to put my boot in his behind."
"You sounded like Aunt Tilly when you said that," Clove offered.
"And you sound like a kvetch when you open your mouth," Thistle shot back. "Just march."
We walked in a row, not stopping until we reached the pine tree in question. The boy hovered close to the top, dipping his head low as he tried to pretend he was part of the scenic tableau rather than the freak flying above it.
"Is that Jimmy Nelson?"
Thistle asked, narrowing her eyes.
"It is, isn't it?"
"I have no idea who this Jimmy Nelson you speak of is,"
the boy replied, unnaturally lowering his voice to a guttural level as he glanced around. "You're wearing a hoodie," I pointed out.
"You're wearing a Hemlock Cove High School hoodie," Clove added.
"One of the nice people from that school loaned it to me,"
the boy intoned.
"My people are not used to cold like this."
So you're a superhero who is afraid of the cold? Thistle challenged. That doesn't make you very super, does it?
Or duper, Clove added.
That add-on was completely unnecessary, Thistle groused. Good grief. Do we have to drag this out longer than necessary?
I planted my hands on my hips as I stared at the boy. Now that Thistle had mentioned a name, I was pretty sure she was right. Jimmy, you know it's November, right?
I'm not Jimmy!
The boy's voice went unnaturally high.
Who is this Jimmy you speak of? It's not me. I've met no Jimmy.
I ignored the diatribe. Seriously, Jimmy, it's November. We know why you're out here. Now, we're not going to admit the thing you're searching for is here because, well, that would be illegal. We will say that if it were out here, it would have been harvested long ago. Michigan's growing season is over until spring.
Yeah, come back in the spring, Clove yelled out. Is anyone else freezing? I'm totally cold. I blame Aunt Tilly for all of this.
Join the club, I muttered, wrapping my arms around my waist. She caused this entire mess, and she hasn't done a thing to stop it.
Tell me how you really feel, whiner, Aunt Tilly said, stepping from the shadows and drawing our attention.
She held a shotgun, a combat helmet on her head, and a scowl on her face. I was only mildly terrified, although I think that was from the cold.
Are you done complaining? I'm nowhere near done complaining, Thistle fired back. I can't believe you did this to us. It's so unfair.
And you're not worried in the least, Clove added. Yeah, what's up with that? My irritation was evident as I flicked my gaze to her. You don't seem upset about any of this. The only thing you're upset about is Mom keeping you on lockdown. I can't help but find that strange, especially because someone died.
Who died?
Jimmy asked, sliding away from the tree a bit. He was still a good 20 feet above us. There was no way we could snag him.
It doesn't matter, Aunt Tilly barked. He's not dead any longer. He came back from the dead, and everything is fine.
Everything is not fine, I challenged. We just got smacked down with some really terrible headaches because Uncle Warren made a wish and apparently we fought it.
Yeah, I felt as if I was dying, Clove complained.
Oh, jeez.
Aunt Tilly's expression was murderous.
You guys wouldn't make it through a war. You know that, right? In fact, you're so whiny that I'm kicking you off my zombie apocalypse team. Go ahead, Thistle shot back. I'll shoot you in the leg and leave you for a snack as I run away.
This is not a productive conversation, I interjected.
I don't care. If she turns on me, I'll turn on her right back.
Thistle crossed her arms over her chest and stared down Aunt Tilly.
This is all on you, yet we're doing all the work. I'm sick of it. Oh, you're sick of it.
Aunt Tilly was clearly happy to be out from under Mom's watchful eye because she didn't hold back.
I'm the one who is sick of it. I'm sick to death of the whining and the finger-pointing and the woe-is-me looks you girls keep lobbing my way. I didn't raise you to be this pathetic.
We almost died from those headaches, Clove complained.
Does everyone feel those headaches if they fight the wishes? I asked, legitimately curious.
I don't know, but I think that's what happened to you girls, Aunt Tilly admitted. You should have been immune from the spell, your witches. I engineered it so we'd be immune in case something bad happened.
I wasn't immune from Sam's wish, Clove pointed out.
Yeah, but how much of that was wish fulfillment because you're a nester and get your self-worth from making him happy?
Aunt Tilly challenged.
You're mean.
Clove jutted out her lower lip and averted her gaze. We weren't immune from Uncle Warren's wish either, I volunteered, drawing Aunt Tilly's attention to me. We said weird things like we were kids again. And I used the word daddy and not in the way Landon likes me to use it when he's feeling frisky.
Oh, gross, Thistle said, rolling her eyes. You guys are sick.
I was joking, mostly.
You weren't joking and you are definitely sick.
Aunt Tilly fixed her unreadable gaze on Jimmy.
I'm an alien from another planet,
Jimmy said, defiant.
You're not the boss of me.
You're Jimmy Nelson and your grandmother still buys your underwear,
Aunt Tilly shot back.
I know, because she showed me the one she bought you at the store the other day. Aren't you a little old for Pokemon?
How do you even know what Pokemon is?
Thistle challenged.
I know things, Aunt Tilly scowled. Get down from there. The wish will turn on you. Clove will drive you back in town so you can reverse the wish before something bad happens.
Why me?
Clove protested.
Because you have to drive through town to go home, Aunt Tilly replied. If you don't want to run the late-night errands, you should have stayed on the property. That's on you.
Ha ha, Thistle teased, her lips curling.
I'm not taking back this wish,
Jimmy argued.
It's awesome.
I thought you were an alien from another planet.
I didn't want to embarrass the boy, but he was beginning to talk in circles. I had a feeling the cold was getting to him.
Jimmy, I wasn't lying earlier. You can keep flying over the property, but there's nothing here to find.
That's not true,
Jimmy adopted a whiny voice.
If I find the field, I'll be the most popular kid in school.
It's November, moron, Aunt Tilly barked. There is no field in November.
I can wait.
Jimmy apparently had a stubborn streak.
When will there be a field again?
Never, as far as you're concerned, Aunt Tilly replied. Get down.
No.
Get down.
Bite me.
That did it.
Aunt Tilly lifted the shotgun and leveled it at the boy. His eyes widened when he realized she meant business.
You asked for it.
Okay, okay, don't shoot me.
Jimmy squealed the final bit as he slowly drifted to the ground. His face was unnaturally white when he lit in front of us, although he managed to hold on to a sliver of defiance.
You're a mean woman. Everyone says that about you, but I didn't believe it until now.
Good. Spread the word. Aunt Tilly clapped his shoulder. Clove, take him to the wishing well and make sure he reverses the wish. If he doesn't, shoot him.
Aunt Tilly slapped the shotgun in Clove's hand, causing her to grip it awkwardly. I was fairly certain she hadn't handled a gun since Aunt Tilly had taught us to shoot, ostensibly to protect our virtue from handsy teenagers back in the day, and she didn't appear happy to have one in her hands now.
Okay.
The sound of pounding feet in the darkness caused me to shift my attention toward approaching Landon. He looked worried when he saw us all grouped together.
What happened?
This is Jimmy Nelson, and he's an alien, I replied, inclining my chin toward the scowling boy.
Not that, Landon snapped. I heard him beg not to be shot.
He stared at the shotgun in Clove's hand.
No one is going to get shot.
Don't listen to him, Jimmy, Aunt Tilly ordered. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Clove, take the boy back to town and make him reverse the wish. Everyone else, well, do whatever it is you want to do. I have a spell to finish.
Now you're suddenly keen to reverse the spell? For some reason, I had my doubts.
Now I'm suddenly keen to shut you all up, Aunt Tilly clarified. If I don't, I'll never get a good night's sleep again. Do you people have any idea how much work you are?
We know how much work you are, Thistle answered.
Aunt Tilly narrowed her eyes to dangerous slits.
You're still on my list.
Thistle didn't appear particularly perturbed by the admonishment.
Yeah, I think that's listed as my second home these days in the White Pages. I'm fine with it.
A dream is a wish your heart desires. Like when I dream I'm queen and they and Clove have to do all the cleaning. A nightmare is the reality of dealing with this family. Thistle Winchester's version of dream interpretation. 19.
Hey, sweetie.
I woke to find my head resting in the crook of Landon's arm, his steady gaze on me. The clarity in his eyes made me realize he'd been up for quite some time. Hi, I rubbed the crusties from the corners of my eyes. Why are you watching me sleep?
Because you're pretty, and this is the only rest we've had in days, Landon replied. How do you feel? Does your head hurt?
No.
Does your eye hurt?
It doesn't feel like kittens licking it, but it doesn't ache or anything. Landon snorted.
How about anything else? Does anything else hurt?
He was all over the place for the past 24 hours, and it was starting to grate. Landon, what is wrong with you?
Nothing is wrong with me.
Landon's tone dipped as he moved to pull away.
I thought we could have a few minutes together before duty calls. But if that's too much for you, well, I'll hit the shower on my own.
Oh, don't be like that. I grabbed his arm and rolled so I was straddling him, pinning his arms to his sides as he shot me a dirty look. If you try to wrestle and push me around, you'll hurt me. We both know you're stronger.
Oh, well, that's playing fair.
Aunt Tilly says that playing fair is for suckers and whiners.
Life lessons from Aunt Tilly. Where can I sign up?
My butt, which you're going to be kissing if you don't knock it off. I forced him to lock gazes with me. What's wrong? Is this still about the black eye? I don't understand.
I don't expect you to understand, Bay.
Landon was frustrated as he managed to dislodge one of his arms and run a hand through his unruly hair. He usually wakes up looking like he belongs on the pages of a fashion magazine, which is totally unfair, by the way, because I'm queen of bedhead. I could tell he'd had a rough night. He'd slept, though, I was sure of that. How much was another matter entirely. I would like you to try to let me understand, I pressed. Why does the black eye bother you so much?
Because I don't like seeing my girlfriend hurt.
His answer was automatic and far too easy. Why, really? Landon's eyebrows rose.
Isn't that enough, Bay? You could have been really hurt by those girls. I didn't get to you fast enough.
Is that what this is? I rolled the idea through my head, unsure. Are you blaming yourself because you didn't get to me fast enough? You did what you had to, Landon. Nelson was going for the wishing well, and he had every intention of making another wish. That one might have been worse.
You still got hurt.
Landon looked glum. You've been hurt a few times while in my presence, and I don't beat myself up over it, I pointed out.
Really? You still blame yourself for the time I got shot?
Because you wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for me.
And you wouldn't have been in the line of fire if I hadn't tackled Nelson and left you.
Landon shot back, his voice taking on an edge. Landon.
It's not you, sweetie.
He jerked his other hand free and cupped my face.
I'm taking it out on you, and it's not you. Don't. Just put your head down.
Landon tugged me down, forcing me to lay flat on his chest as he sucked in a steadying breath. The position wasn't entirely comfortable, but I'd survived worse, especially in the last 24 hours. Landon?
My first solo case involved a murder-suicide.
Landon volunteered, cutting me off.
They gave it to me because it was fairly cut and dry, but they wanted me to work it from beginning to end. Hank and Deborah Grayson had been married 20 years. At first, it seemed as if they were the perfect couple.
He continued.
That's what the family said. They had no idea why Deborah would crack and shoot her husband, and then herself.
Oh, I assumed he shot her first and then killed himself, I admitted.
Most people do. That's why this case was different. Anyway, I did more digging and found out that the family was lying. All of the neighbors told me that Hank beat Deborah every chance he got. The neighbors could hear her screaming, and they always called the police. There were 23 emergency calls from that house in 3 years. 23.
That sounds rough. I traced my finger over his muscled chest as he worked his fingers into the knots in my back. I don't think he consciously decided to give me a massage, as much as he needed something to do with his hands.
When I asked the family about the endless reports, they said that it was never anything serious. Hank only slapped Deborah from time to time.
Landon said, his voice soft.
Deborah's family said it wasn't a big deal either, which made me sick to my stomach. It was apparently a big deal to Deborah, though, because at some point, she decided to end both of their lives. Every time the cops showed up, they took a photograph of Deborah's injuries.
He continued.
She had black eyes and broken bones and even a burn on her arm from a cigarette once.
Oh, sweetie. Landon quieted me with a finger on my lips.
I'm almost done. One of those photos was taken not long after Deborah married Hank. She was young, in her 20s, and she had blonde hair and blue eyes. That was long before he beat the will to live out of her. In that photo, just the one, she reminded me of you.
He continued.
I didn't realize until I saw your black eye. I thought I'd put it behind me a long time ago. It turns out I didn't.
Landon, that's an awful story, I said, swallowing the lump in my throat. That's not what happened to me. Aunt Tilly cursed a wishing well, and I got jumped by a group of teenagers. I'm fine.
I know. It's just this wishing well business has thrown me.
Landon offered.
I love you so much, and I know you love me.
but the idea of free will being stripped away, and something forcing you to feel something for someone else. It bothers me. I can't pretend otherwise.